of you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. 'Cause all my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God. Hey! 'Cause all my life you have been faithful.
Oh, yes, you have.
And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything, oh Lord. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me.
Your goodness is running after,
oh yeah,
it's running after me.
Oh yeah.
Your goodness is running after, it's running after me.
With my life laid down,
I surrender now.
I give you
everything,
everything. Your
good morning, y'all. Great to be with you again. We're having some fantastic weather, aren't we? You know, great to see the sunshine. We call it summer. So get out there and enjoy the weather. This morning, I want to share with you a message that I hope you will get something from, that you will really be encouraged by it, you know, really encouraged to dump all that stuff you're carrying, all that manure that you feel in your life. I just want to really share something that may help you to hand it over. But as is customary for me to pray before I preach, so let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Heavenly Father, open our hearts and ears to hear what you have to say to us this morning. Let your words be planted so deep in our hearts that they bear much fruit in our own lives and in the lives of those around us. Wherever we are right now, God, let your Holy Spirit, as on the day of Pentecost, fill our homes from the tables to the doors, from the ceiling to the floors, that we may not only be inspired but transformed into becoming all you have called us to be. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. So I'm going to, because I tend to forget to share the Bible verses, so I'm going to share from Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13, verses 6 to 8. It's the parable of the barren fig tree. And Jesus, he told this parable. A man had a fig tree he planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And he said to the vine dresser, "Look, for 3 years now I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground?" And he answered him, "Sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and put on manure." So basically, these verses speak of a fig tree that did not bear fruit for 3 years and how the owner of the vineyard planned to cut it down. However, the gardener begged for one more year to tend to the tree and give it one last chance. Now, I could really sum this up in about 30 seconds and we could all go and have our cup of tea. God is the vineyard owner. Jesus is the dresser. We are the trees, be it the church or as individuals. But whatever one it is, know that God is going to come unexpectedly looking for some fruit. God will come expecting some fruit. Where's your fruit at? In the end, and we could go home. That's not it. There's a lot more in this. The parable is about God's love and patience towards us and how we should use our time wisely to bear good fruit. And we can draw probably 4 or 5 points from this passage. So bear with me now. Have your tea and sit back and relax. First point I want to make is God gives us time to bear fruit. Just as the owner of the vineyard gave the fig tree 3 years to bear fruit, God gives us time to grow and develop in faith. You and I have the privilege of being planted in the vineyard, and the person who planted you here is God himself. You are only here because he has planted you here, and you are not your own. You are made in the image and likeness of God. You are the planting of Almighty God in you all, and in him we live, we move, and have being. Psalm 100 tells us, he made us and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. And we should notice too that the tree is planted beside other trees that are bearing fruit. There are other trees in the same vineyard that are bearing fruit. It can be similar in our own lives. There's a tree in the same street. There's a tree in the same avenue. There's this tree in the same route that's bearing much fruit. They're being successful. Yet, on the tree that Jesus speaks here, there is no fruit. Yet the tree has the same privilege as all the other trees. The tree here seems to hear the same messages. It reads the same books. It reads the same Bible. It probably prays the same prayers. Hears the same worship songs, but no fruit. And have you ever noticed that there can be an array of trees in the vineyard and such a difference of fruit between them? There is an expectation by the vineyard owner of the tree to bear fruit as it is planted in good ground. That same expectation would not be there if the tree was planted in bad ground, if the tree was not being cared for, if the tree wasn't looked after. But this tree is planted in good ground. And we have a tendency to blame where we are for the lack of fruit. But we need to stop blaming the ground. We need to stop blaming our circumstances. Because in y'all, this is good ground. I pray that we really come to understand that we are planted in good ground. So if there's somebody in the room with you right now, or when you go out this later this afternoon, go and say to somebody and say, hey Tim, I'm planted in good ground. And give thanks to God for the privilege of being planted in good ground. Thank God for putting you where you are, because you have a purpose and he has a plan for you in this ground. Second point I want to make, and this is not me, but second point I want to make about this is patience is a virtue. The gardener in the parable showed patience towards the fig tree, tending to it and giving it chance after chance. The fig tree is there for one purpose and one purpose only, to bear fruit, to make money for its owner. It does that by bearing fruit. Matthew 3:8 tells us, therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance. John chapter 15 verse 16 says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. You and I have been planted for one reason, to bring forth fruit. To put it another way, there ought to be some production from believers who are in the kingdom, and the fruit is not for us, it belongs to God. You see, quite often we look to our priests, we look to our ministers, we look to our pastors and say, that's their job. But as a churchgoer, as a believer, it's your job. It's your job to bear fruit. So let your life as a follower of Jesus show up bearing fruit for the kingdom of God. And as a follower, there are times you need to sit back and you need to count the cost. because we are not meant to go to church. We're not meant to sit in the pews and consume. But we're called to be goers. Do you realise that the gospel of Jesus Christ lives in you? That the resurrection power has gotten control of you? And we should show patience towards ourselves and others, trusting in God's times and plans. The third point is we must take time to nurture our relationship with God. As we saw, the fig tree needed care and attention in order to bear fruit. The person who came looking for produce was the owner himself, and he had a right to expect fruit. The fruit we bear is not to impress those around us. The fruit we bear is to glorify God. And I think all too often that we do not do it for the right purpose. We want to impress some other people other than God. Look at Jimmy over there. He's at church every day. Joe, well, what a man. He's a really holy Joe. Where Jimmy could be spending the rest of his night, the rest of his time doing the things not of God. I don't do what I do because I want to win favour with those around me. I do what I do because I'm waiting for the vineyard owner to come, and when he comes, I want to hear him to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." So here's what happens. The vineyard owner comes and finds no fruit. The tree had failed in its purpose. In fact, we are told it has failed in its purpose for 3 long years. What would you do if you were working on something for 3 years, perhaps more, and found no fruit? What would you do if you're working on a business for 3 years and found nothing was happening? You weren't making the profit you thought you were making. There's got to be some fruit after 3 years, because we're told there's a time for sowing and a time for reaping. But God does not expect fruit from where fruit should not be expected. Figs appear in a fig tree from April and produce fruit for almost 10 months, which means there's a shorter season for trees not to have fruit than to have fruit. And quite often I hear many say, and I'm sure you've heard it yourselves when you have people talking to your friends and your colleagues and the whole lot, you know, quite often many say, "It's not my season." So when is your season? If it's not now, then when? If we are planted in good ground, shouldn't we have more fruit in season than out of season? 10 months of the year, there should have been some fruit on that tree, and 3 years later, it still had no fruit. And the owner goes and checks up to see if there's any fruit. Point number four, we are called to bear good fruit. Just as the fig tree was expected to bear fruit, we are called to bear good fruit in our lives. And let me ask you, do you take time to check your own life? Can Jesus see any fruit in your life? Can he see the fruit of repentance? Like, I've repented, so I don't do what I used to do, or I don't go where I used to go. When you turn to God, you turn from something, so the first fruit people should see in your life is repentance. And not only should they see the fruit of repentance, they should see the fruit of the Spirit. If you're a churchgoer, you know, you've been confirmed. We should see the fruits of the Spirit in our lives. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So there should be some love evident in your life. Can the people around you, your friends, your colleagues, can they see you as a loving person? There should be some peace evident in your life. Are you a peaceful person? Are you somebody who flips out at the smallest thing? There should be some joy, some long-suffering, some meekness, some patience, some self-control. These are the fruits that ought to be evident in your life. There should be the fruits of evangelism. We've got to go and help somebody come to know the Jesus that you claim means so much to you. And if the Lord can't get what he wants out of you, don't get mad when he puts somebody else where you are, because he's come to get fruit. We get the privilege of being planted in good ground. We get the purpose, and we see production or the lack of it. But we thank God, for His mercies are new every morning. So I encourage you to nurture your relationship. Get a quiet place in your house. Get into prayer with God. Get into some worship. Get into reading the Bible. Final point I want to make on this is repentance leads to new growth. The gardener dug around the fig tree and fertilised it, leading to new growth and giving it potential for fruit. And similarly, when we repent of our sins and turn towards God, we are given new life and the potential to bear good fruit. And we give thanks to God that He has pardoned us. See, Jesus steps in and says, I know it's not giving you any fruit for some time, but leave it with me for one more year. Jesus is the gardener in this parable. Jesus is saying, just give me one more year. Let me work on this unproductive tree. Let me dig around it. Now, if you go to the King James, the old King James version, the verse says, let me dung it. Let me dig around it. Let me dung it. That's a word you don't hear too often in church anymore. Let me prune it. You see, Jesus will work on you if you want Him to, if you allow Him to. And ask Him to dig around you for one more year. Now, I know some of you are gardeners, and I'm certainly not one of them, because I hate gardening. I still do to this day. But as a child growing up, my father was growing all sorts of fruits and veggies, and we had to work every summer in the garden. And I know how to dig around with a spade, and I know how a fork is used to break up those clumps, and how adding the fertilizer helps with the growth. If we just use a spade, the fruit won't come because of the clumps. The clumps need to be broken up. The spade won't do it, so use a fork to break it up. So here I'm talking about the clumps of home, the clumps of addiction, the clumps of laziness, the clumps of lukewarmness, the clumps of suicide. Jesus, won't you dig around us for one more year? Even when the ground has been dug up and the clumps broken up, the text says He put manure on it. He said dung it. He put dung in it. Verse 8 tells us, and answering He said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year till I shall dig about it and dung it. It's about to get smelly. Dung is, that's a phrase you don't hear so much these days. In fact, we don't talk about dung much at all. Dung is no longer a trendy word. Today we'd rather call it organic fertilizer, compost material or something else. And I'm sure there's some thinking dung is better known as, but this is not the radio station to say that on. They're all types of dung, and all of it stinks. And Jesus says, if you let me, I will use your smelly stuff in your life. And I mean, who to endure more smelly stuff in his life than our Saviour, our Lord Jesus Christ? He was born in a stable. That had to stink. He's surrounded by animals, and that's a whole bunch of smelly. There's a whole lot of animal dung around him in his birth. The first visitors, we are told, that came to see him were the shepherds. When's the last time they had a bath? When's the last time they scrubbed up? There's a smell of the wilderness, of having to deal with Satan and all those temptations. The smell of having to deal with lepers, the demon-possessed, and those who had cancerous types of diseases. The smell of having to deal with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, whose mission was to destroy Jesus. The smell of His trial and the beatings. The smell of the crucifixion. There was never a more stinky place than Jesus' crucifixion. Not just the blood and gore, but the fact that Jesus was taking on all the sins of the world. The smell of His death and burial. But all that dung, all that smell, all that stink did not destroy Jesus, because Jesus treated it like fertilizer. Jesus allowed it to work in His life like the vine dresser wanted his fertilizer to work in the life of the fig tree. There is hope. Jesus said in John 16:33, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And as believers, we are called to give all our troubles and hardships to Jesus, who in turn will transform them into a testimony of spiritual fruitfulness. I was talking to a friend of mine named Sarah, and Sarah faced a devastating diagnosis of cancer. The news shook her to her core, and she is filled with fear and uncertainty. But instead of giving in to despair, Sarah turned to Jesus. She prayed for guidance, strength and healing. Through her faith, Sarah's life was transformed. Her testimony of how God carried her through her illness became a beacon of hope and inspiration for others facing similar battles. And this transformation is not unique to Sarah. Time and time again, we see examples of giving her hardships to Jesus leads to spiritual abundance. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, Paul shares the words of the Lord, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." When we trust in God's plan and purpose for our lives, when we hand him over the clumps of our life, when we hand him over all that dung, any obstacle can be transformed to an opportunity for growth. In the face of adversity, we must remember the transformative power of faith. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." Our hardships, our dung, those clumps are not meaningless. They are part of God's greater plan for our lives. By trusting him, by handing them over to him, we can experience spiritual fruitfulness even amidst our struggles. I want to encourage each and one of you to take a moment and reflect on your personal hardships. Are there any worries or burdens that you've been holding on to? Today I invite you to commit to giving those worries to Jesus. Let him dig around you. As 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Cast all your anxiety in him because he cares for you." Let go of your troubles and embrace the peace and hope that only Jesus can provide. I want to remind you of the words of Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. "But those that hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." When we give our hardships, when we give our dung, our crap to Jesus and trust in his plan, we will find renewed strength and purpose in our lives. Jesus says, "If you let me, I can take all that smelly stuff in your life." You have to surrender it to Jesus. You have to give it over to him. Give him that smelly stuff in your life. It may stink now, but God has a way of making that stink blossom. Won't you ask Jesus to dig around you for one more year? So with every head bowed and every eyes closed, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who is the cornerstone of our faith, I come before you with a humble heart. This morning, Lord, we thank you for the gift of life, for grace and the promise of redemption. I know this life has its struggles, and sometimes these burdens feel too heavy for me to carry. And Lord, there are times we are weighed down by our worries, our fears, our failures and pain. Yet we know that our Saviour Jesus bore the weight of the world's sins upon his shoulders and asked us to lay our troubles at his feet. Jesus, I trust in your mighty power and love. So this morning I surrender to you all my frustrations, anxieties, disappointments, all the broken pieces of my life, all the dung that is visible and invisible. Lord, won't you take these and mould them in your able hands? Like the gardener digging round the tree, like a potter with clay, shape my life into something more beautiful, resilient and purposeful. In giving my burdens to you, I'm reminded of your words in Matthew chapter 11, 28, 30. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light." Lord, I pray that as you take my burdens, as you take all this dung that I'm surrendering to you, that you rebuild my spirit and strengthen my faith. Give me the wisdom to see the purpose behind my trials. Help me to grow from these experiences and blossom into a person who reflects your grace, your love and compassion. May my heart be fertile ground for the seeds you plant, and may my life bear fruit in abundance for your glory. Let my renewed strength be a testament to those around me of your endless love and power. Now I am so grateful for the transformative work you're doing in me. Guide my steps that I may walk in the path you have laid before me, with a spirit fortified by your grace. In Jesus' precious and holy name I pray. If Jesus was to tell you right now, I'm only giving you one more year, what change would you make today? Who would you call? Who would you tell about the love of Jesus and what he did for you, if you had one more year? And I just want to extend a heartfelt invitation to anyone who may be in need of assistance, support, or simply a listening ear. Please know that I'm here for you, ready to help you navigate through life's challenges. In times of hardship, it's important for us to come together and lean on one another. And I want you to feel comfortable reaching out to me, knowing that our conversations will be held in a safe, respectful, and nurturing environment. Remember, there's no problem too big or too small for us to discuss. There is no judgment, there is no condemnation. The weight of the world can feel heavy on our shoulders, but sharing our burdens with others can make all the difference. To make it even more convenient and inviting, let's meet up for a cup of your favourite drink, whether it's tea, coffee, or hot chocolate. I'm happy to share a warm beverage and conversation with you. You decide the time, place and date that works best for you, and I'll be there eager to lend my support. So please don't hesitate to reach out to me if you're in need of a friend, a mentor, someone to talk to, someone to pray with. You can call, text or email me, and we'll find a time that suits both of us. My door is always open, and my heart is always ready to offer love and encouragement. Together we can create a space where everyone feels welcome, heard and valued. So I look forward to connecting with you and walking alongside you on your journey. God bless you. And until the next time, this is Ross Barrett. Have a blessed day. In Jesus' name, amen.
How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness your loving kindness tore through the shadows. Is finished, the end is written, Jesus Christ, my Lord.